Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Hey you guys, we have some exciting news. It is official. Our show is now available on Spotify.
And it's free.
And we want to make it super easy for you and your friends to listen to Showmance. And so joining Spotify allows us to be even more places for you.
And we can build our community even further. Spotify is working to help listeners discover the shows they love, and now Showmance is one of them.
If you're already listening to music on Spotify, now you can listen to Showmance in the same place.
If you're not on Spotify yet, all you have to do is download the free app. That's right. No credit card necessary, and simply search for our show and start listening for free.
Yay! Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
Welcome to Showman's Glee Recap Edition. I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
I'm Kevin McHale.
It is Acapella's week,
episode
Kevin.
Three.
Season one, episode three.
We've
just
made
through
it
my phone.
This far. So far, so mediocre.
Oh.
This episode, I have to be honest. Let me just start. Let me dive in.
Yeah, let's do it.
I wasn't excited to watch this episode.
Me too, Kevin. Me too.
And
why were you not so excited?
There were a lot of things I did not remember happening in this episode. A lot of my favorite moments from the series period are in this episode. But as a whole,
it's a strange episode. Well, here's the thing. I think we were kind of texting last night while we were watching, but I feel like pilot was like stellar. Showmance really hit a stride. We're like, this is what the tone of Glee is going to be. And then we come to a screeching, bust your windows halt.
Like,
what?
I don't think anything happened.
Here's my.
No, one thing happened.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
We're going out of order.
Well, no.
There are some phenomenal.
I'm like, no, Kevin, don't go out of order.
Phenomenal
performances.
And I think the one and truly only thing to take away from this episode. There's two things to take away from this episode.
Okay.
One, bust your windows.
Well, I want to talk about
yes.
that. Yeah.
We have an hour allotted for that
for
performance.
Sure. That solely bust your windows.
And the second thing is Kurt coming
out.
The rest of the episode is just.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I don't know.
My theory was they were still really figuring out what the fans were gravitating towards, right?
Or what they would, because it was so far in advance of anything airing.
Fair, right? And I think later we realized that the kids were gravitating towards the kids,
yeah,
and towards like when we get into later episodes in one, like Sue and Shu, like those adult storylines.
Right.
But I think right now they were still writing for Matt Morrison, which they always should, but like just trying to reaching a little too far outside of the
yes, give
the
him
tone.
Something away from us,
right?
Which
exactly,
was nice. But it was weird.
It was weird. And it was also the first time we had a director that wasn't one of the Holy Trinity, Ian, yeah. Brad, and Ryan.
That felt strange, but I mean,
John Scott
is the sweetest man. So sweet.
And I remember being like, this is cool. This is what we're doing. This is my job now.
Yeah.
Like when we were shooting this episode.
And having another director come in too, it was sort of like hitting you in the face of like, oh wow, this is going to happen every week now.
Right.
Because then you find out like who's coming in next week.
I don't think I knew that at all.
I didn't either.
Who's this guy who's going to hang out with us for the rest of the season?
It felt very strange. It almost felt like we were cheating on Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like, wait, do we be nice to this person?
Right. And John Scott is the nicest person.
Yes.
But for people who don't know, when TV is shot, because it's such a fast paced schedule, a director normally comes in every, you know, a new director comes in or they have a rotating schedule, so a director is not doing two in a row at any point, which happened on Glee.
And the reason why you can't normally or shouldn't do that is because you have to prep the episode. You have to make all your notes, decide how you actually want to shoot the episode, and a lot of the time, If you were doing two back-to-back, you'd be prepping and shooting an episode at the same time.
Well, yeah. Exactly. You prep while you're shooting. So if you're shooting two, you're prepping three.
Yeah, exactly.
But the reality was we also had directors who didn't get time to prep at all.
Yeah.
Because we got scripts sometimes late.
But the first 13 episodes.
Maybe we should cut that out.
The first 13 episodes, I felt like was sort of going like a well-oiled machine. We had scripts. We had time to rehearse. We were, I think because it was so new and we were figuring it all out, we were taking our time. It were long days.
Well, there was also no noise around us. Nobody had seen it except for, you know, studio giving notes. And, you know, there's no noise. There's no fans. There's no none of that. There's no, like, massive pressure to live up to.
We were just obsessed with each other.
Exactly.
We were just hanging out with each other doing this insane.
And these guys were just, you know, writing the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, eventually,
Well, I mean, their truths.
Yes, exactly.
At first, and then our truths later. So, okay, let's start.
Yeah, let's talk about this episode.
Okay, so this is season one, episode three, Acafellas. It was written by, obviously, the Holy Trinity, Ryan Murphy, Brad Falchuk, and Ian Brennan. And as we said, directed by
John Scott.
Kevin, take away the musical numbers.
The musical numbers were Mercy by Vocal Adrenaline, This Is How We Do It, mm-hmm. and I Want to Sex You Up by the Acafellas,
mm-hmm.
and Bust Your Windows by Mercedes and the Cheerios, a.k.a. if you looked at anybody other than Amber and Heather, I don't know what you were looking at.
Oh, my God. Heather and that number. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
I told you, we need an hour for Bust Your Windows.
Okay. So this episode, ultimately, I really tried to find, you know, the pinnacle of what this was about. Like, I tried to think about what the writers were thinking in the room.
Did you find it?
Well, here's my theory, okay? Kevin. Will's journey to be gutsy and go for what he wants results in a loss for the Glee Club and a failed attempt at a little too late boy band.
And there was a reflection of that within the Glee Club as well.
Exactly.
Where people were trying to change things up when things maybe didn't need to be changed up. And everybody was better together than apart.
Right. Okay. So we open up with Victor Garber and sweet, sweet Deborah Monk.
Deborah Monk.
Doodle. Where did Doodle? We have to ask some of our creators that, because where did the did Doodle come from?
I don't know, but nobody plays drunk better than Debs. Her walking out of the scenes and burping and like MVP for this episode for me.
Yeah, so
I loved her. Do you remember? I didn't know Victor Garber was in the episode until we saw it.
Yeah, because we didn't have to do anything with him at all.
And I was like, what?
I know. I'm obsessed.
Titanic!
I was like, Titanic! It's the only thing he's ever done in our eyes.
Yep.
Okay, so that's where I got this whole idea about, like, you know, Will's father saying, you know, it takes guts to be a father. You got to have guts. And then again, very shortly after, the Glee Club being like, Mr. Shu, you didn't really follow your dream, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
He took there's ways to interpret what your gut is. Like, it takes guts, it takes strength to do something outside of your comfort zone and follow your dreams, but also takes guts to listen to your gut.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the Glee Club or Acafellas first, Kevin?
I got to talk about
neither.
Let's talk about Acafellas.
Okay, cool. All right.
I don't know.
Tell me your thoughts.
Okay. I looked up and I'm like, how did all of these guys get in the break room? I'm like, what's Howard Bamboo doing here?
Like, who is this Henri?
What is this crowbar that we used? And we so flippantly just talked about a cough syrup addiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I was shocked, especially later in the episode when Henri mysteriously disappears because he drank 6 bottles of cough syrup. Like, that's not a problem. That was one of the moments where I was like, this part doesn't age well.
Right.
Like this.
Well, quite a bit of the show doesn't age quite as properly as we thought it might.
Well, and the show progresses because I think as the years go on, had that happened, we would have maybe talked about mental health.
Yeah, for sure.
And addiction and things like that. This we just sort of made.
Please ride over.
Yeah, like, oh, he cut off some appendages and swallowed some cough syrup, but we're cool with it.
Mm.
Let's bring in this like suspected like pedophile back into the group to
again it's like the 2020
yeah.
just doesn't fly.
But that
and
being
Sandy Ryerson we get rid of pretty quickly after this, right? Like he kind of goes away
for a long time.
But I would like to say that a part that made me giggle was when Henri's thumb cake comes out.
He eats
like
it.
what he just sawed off his thumbs, which number one, like, yeah, I get it. Totally. Number two, like, a thumb cake comes out for he, and he's a jolly good fellow.
I also just really enjoyed watching him in every scene because he, we're all sort of like clowns on the show, and he was so real about everything.
That's why he has a Tony.
Yeah. And he, like, watching him with Howard Bamboo and with Sandy Ryerson, I, as odd as it was that they were all together, like, I enjoyed all of them together.
For sure.
In every scene. The weird parts were the musical performances.
It's like, and also, like, well, number one, I was very excited when John Lloyd Young came in because, like, I listened to the freaking Jersey Boys original Broadway cast recording, like, over and over and over again. But getting back to the musical numbers, which are so weird, the idea that Mr. Shu broke the fourth wall or, like, into the barrel with, like, I'm sorry, when I say into the barrel, I mean, like, you're looking straight into the camera and it looks like they're looking at the characters looking at you. Like, when he did that with, I want to,
this is how we do it.
This is how we do it. I was like, duh. I actually, like, had a visceral
same
reaction.
And I was like,
we don't do that. We don't do that.
We don't
anymore.
Do that, but also, I remember going around like promoting the pilot and we're like, you know, the show's really about the musical numbers happening organically. And, like, we don't perform, like, we don't just break into song. And it was sort of like the anti-High School Musical. And, like, wait, we got to that a lot sooner than I thought we did.
Yeah.
That lasted two episodes.
Oh, no.
But I remember finding out that we were going to do I Want to Sex You Up and This Is How We Do It. I remember Ryan telling us either during the pilot or during
I remember him telling
showmans,
us that
and I was
as
like,
well.
Yes.
I know.
I just liked, I'm like, okay. It just kept revalidating that I was into the show that I was in.
But did you think you were going to do those numbers?
I didn't know, but I just liked that they were willing to put this on national television.
Mm.
I was like, this is great. Because that time, This Is How We Do It has had a resurgence after this episode, like, sort of that era of music.
Yeah.
But at the time, no one was really talking about This Is How We Do It. And I was just very stoked that we were doing, like, 90s R&B music.
Do you think that these musical numbers, not only were they weird because, like, none of the Glee Club is in them and has nothing to do with the Glee Club at all, but because also we didn't watch them shoot these at all. Like, I don't remember seeing any of these.
No.
And when we're shooting something that's weird, we're with the crew and we're like, this is weird today. Like, I know this is weird. Like, the entire what was that episode where we did like I Follow Rivers and all of that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sad episode.
Yeah,
but it's like you're like, yeah, we're in this together and we're doing something really weird. Whereas this, like, we didn't see it all, so it was a little shocking.
I also think they were trying to play to, like, Matt Morrison's strengths.
For sure,
where, like, he was in a boy band. He's sort of done it all, and I think that was early on. We're like, well, they didn't know anything about us. They knew stuff about Matt, they knew stuff about Leah, they knew stuff about Jane.
For sure. No, for sure.
And they knew Jessalyn, so it's like, let's build into their strengths, like, lean into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they were doing.
I mean, though, but Sandy Ryerson, like, aside from the storyline that is unacceptable and strange to me, he's really funny in this episode.
Good.
He's such a comedic genius. Like, the robes and the tea and the dolls is so effed up, but we're getting to my favorite quote of the episode.
Who's Josh Groban?
Kill yourself. Who is Josh Groban? Kill yourself. Like, what? I laughed so hard.
I also love that Josh Groban agreed to do this show before anybody knew what it was, and he was great.
I have to admit something. I was so excited. I mean, like, so excited. I was crushing on him so hard. And when I found out he was coming, like, we sang his songs at our graduation for college. Like, I listened to his albums. I was into this
guy. Oh, you are the demo.
And when he came on, I was like, I've made it. I freaking made it. Josh Groban is on our show. This is it. I was so happy. I have a photo of the two of us together. I will post. Like, we had a lot of guest stars on.
But
this
was
like the starting of the infiltration of, like,
we didn't
great,
know.
Great people.
I also thought it was so strange that, like, everybody from the faculty showed up to their performances. Like, like, why is everyone there? Figgins is there. Will's parents are there. Emma, Terry, like, everyone's just go. Like, that's the audience. who else is at this bar? Like, where
are they performing? Anything in Glee. We're like, why are we at this? Why are we? I'm not friends with this person right now, but I'm still here seething at them because we got to be in the scene.
I also, I did love the Josh Groban storyline with Sandy Ryerson and him telling Sandy Ryerson off in front of the rest of the acapellas.
And then Doodle with Josh Groban.
Best, so good.
Best scene ever, like, in the whole
that?
Episode.
But I need that spin-off.
I feel like Sandy Ryerson was just like, they wanted to write this guy creepy to lure people in. Like, he wanted to blackmail them. He blackmails everybody with his weed addiction, with
but
his, like, whole
again,
thing.
Again, playing to the strengths. Like, Homeboy
right.
is
so
funny.
Creepy and funny.
Steven is so, so funny.
Oh, man. And then we get Glee Club infiltration into acapellas.
Which, again, did not remember that happening.
So wait, remind me why. So the guys, Howard Bamboo drops out and Henri drinks too much cough syrup, right? So they drop out of.
Yeah.
Howard Bamboo has to drop out because Terry makes him drop out.
Yes.
Right.
Classic Terry.
Classic Terry.
And then they need more people for some reason.
So Finn and Puck,
who are like disillusioned with Glee Club for a spell,
right?
And they
for a spell.
They find it. They just have. They need their creative outlet, so they end up in acapellas.
Mm.
And then you have like the weird baseball, like, metaphor to like loosen up your hips.
Well, it's so
what?
God, I don't know. But it's easy to see though when I was watching this, going, oh, like when the Glee Club joins or when the kids infiltrate into some of the adult storylines,
yeah,
I'm interested again.
Yeah. And
you
like,
know?
I enjoyed watching like Finn and Puck together. Like there were a lot of good duos in in this episode,
totally.
And I felt like that like friendship and rivalry and all the future stuff that it brings, it's like really started and set off in that episode, and I thought that was really nice to see. And also, they're hilarious together.
Poison.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. I just had to. I feel like we did that a lot. That was like a line that
we
would
did.
Say back behind the scenes a lot.
We absolutely would.
Poison. I wonder.
Yes.
I wonder if they had hard times in those rehearsals, because it seems like a lot of testosterone with no dance training at all.
Yeah, I felt like early days it was a struggle bus.
Yeah.
For like Corey to learn the dance moves.
Well, let's get to the fun stuff, Kevin.
Okay, great.
Let's talk about us. Back to us. Okay. So the Glee Club right now is not doing well with their choreography and well with Will's choreography. And we felt like, as the Glee Club members, that we needed to bring in somebody else. And then somehow Sue Sylvester decides to make this her part of her plan as well, right?
She really was – she has a lot of time on her hands.
Yeah, so much time on her hands.
She was really like – thinking far ahead.
And like, let's get this guy in.
Some of my favorite moments, I love, like, we finally have, like, Santana speaking and being so funny.
Oh my God.
And I love the Quinn and Santana duo again, another great duo that sort of blossomed in this episode.
Yes, definitely.
And I think after this episode, there's no turning back from releasing Santana Lopez, because
exactly.
Naya was just so funny.
Oh my God, so funny. Well, we did have the wonderful, iconic Sue on an elliptical again episode. But then so Sue, I guess, gets Santana and Quinn to be her moles and her infiltrators.
Yeah.
I like using that word infiltrator, into the Glee Club.
Which
and
I liked.
Take
I liked
them
all that.
Down one by one. So we're going to take Mercedes down in this episode, right?
Yes.
But she ain't going to take it.
I don't know.
No.
You got the wrong one.
Yeah, you went for the wrong girl.
It's wild that they, again, different time. Their plot was to set Mercedes up with a gay kid. And like that was like the tee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Well, we'll see that a lot.
That's true. It's your life. It's
well,
your
yeah,
real life.
Exactly. It was my real life. And then they wrote it.
Were you in love with me during this moment?
This was a little later.
Oh, I crushed your dreams.
Push it. Crushed my dreams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But we were, it was like, it was like two episodes. I had a crush on Kevin. And then Chris Culver decided to play a trick on me and print out a Kevin McHale photo and put it in my underwear drawer.
And then,
anyway,
and then
moving on.
I came out to Jenna in my closet.
You did come out in your closet. How appropriate.
Or I don't know if it was like, come out. I'm like, hey, Jenna, so...
No, you, well,
yeah.
To me. Yeah, you came out. You specifically, this wasn't your first come out to, it was for me.
Yes.
Yeah, you came out for me.
I'm like, I don't want to hurt you.
So sad. Okay.
And we digress.
Well, people want to know that I had a crush on Kevin McHale. Let it be known. John Ashquitz had a crush on Kevin McHale.
I still have a crush on you.
20 years old. Not knowing anything.
I had so much hair back then. I don't know what you were seeing. I was nothing but hair and teeth.
I love hair.
So much teeth. Love Every time I open hair. My mouth in this episode, I'm just like, teeth.
Some of your faces in when I'm rewatching, it's like, you
so
just have like a permanent smile on your face.
So gross.
Sweet Artie. So the Glee Club's going to hire
a choreographer.
Dakota Stanley.
Yeah, and they need
was very funny. I remember shooting those scenes with him.
He is very, very good.
And I like they're being like, stop laughing again, you guys. Stop laughing.
So whenever I'm trying not to laugh, I do a frown. And every time
look for the frown, you guys.
And every time I was in that in the background of that scene or whatever, I'm frowning so hard. Because he had so much dialogue. He comes in and just insults everybody. And we were trying to keep it together for him because, like, we don't want to ruin his take.
Right.
Because he needs to really get it all in one.
Oh, my God.
And he'd get to, like, Frankentine and all. And Frankentine, that was the start of a huge thing.
Corey Frankentine forever.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
Did that happen? Did they write it in the script first, or did Ryan call him Frankentine and then put it in the script?
I think it was in the script first.
Yeah, I think so too. Those were...
The vocal adrenaline, gratuitous vocal adrenaline performance for nobody was great. Shout out to Shelby Rabara for having a speaking role.
With her neck brace on.
Yes.
Honestly, though...
Or Shelby Shum, sorry. I don't
know. Shelby Shum, yeah. It gave me chills. Watching that number, I was like, ooh, this is so good. And they were in rehearsal clothes.
I love them.
I love vocal adrenaline. Also, we'd be like, oh, right, we are not that, when we were watching it, shooting it.
And it was so, I mean.
Because you weren't there for that, right?
No.
We were there for that.
But this episode definitely felt like, not growing pains, but they were definitely trying to figure out, like what you said, what works and what doesn't. And the pairings were all, like the groupings were all sort of strange. Mm. But you got to sort of do that to figure out who has chemistry. And like the group that went to actually go see vocal adrenaline perform was like a funny
little grouping. Like,
yeah, it was like a funny little.
I know. I remember being like, oh my God, this is the first time we're off the like our sets now.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fun. And we were there all day. And that Dakota Stanley scene, like in the car, when he gets in the car, that was like late at night. And I was like, get me the F out of here.
And in the meantime, concurrently, there's this whole Mercedes drama with Kurt. And they were sweet together.
They were sweet together. And they are still, you know, throughout the whole show, we'll see them like become a real hardcore duo.
I thought it was a really
sweet,
like adult, like honest conversation when she's just like, have you kissed anybody? Like, and they're just talking about it and they just want to like kiss someone. Like, this is very nice. Like, who talks this honestly
at that age? That's when we go, watching it back, I was like, oh, the underdog.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I was like, oh, I would have attached to that.
I had the same thought.
Like, got it.
Yep.
You know, like, there's these newfound perspectives I have when we're rewatching now, where I'm like, we see it from a different lens, right? Mm-hmm. You see it from, like, an outside, more like a viewer point of view or a fan. And I'm like, oh, you got me again. I'm hooked again.
So that's why this episode, a lot of it was really weird to me, but moments like that were really special that lasted the entirety of the series, like set up something that was really important.
And like, F the unholy trinity for trying to get Mercedes to ask out Kurt.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But they're so delicious to watch.
They are delicious to watch.
Because they're so good at being so mean.
But
I loved it.
I did love the when Kurt came out to Mercedes. And I forgot. Like, for some reason, I always imagine, like, I remember Preggers being the one where he came out. It was because he came out to Bert. Kurt came out to Bert. But I forgot that Mercedes was the first one that he came out to on the show.
And her reaction was really great to it. Like, you didn't have to tell me.
Right.
Like, you should be honest about this. And again, I was like, I like who this Mercedes person is. I like how Kurt can confide in her.
Mm.
And had I just been and at the time, I like you said, I didn't realize the impact or the gravity of a viewer watching that. And had I just been watching it, I'd be like, well, these two are my favorite.
Right.
Because this relationship is incredible.
Sure.
And having the vulnerability to for both of them to connect on those levels was very well written and really nice to like watch them play that. I enjoyed that a lot.
The first little fairy dusting of the Holy Trinity going like, you know, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride.
Well, and again, I think probably for them seeing that, seeing like takes of us doing that, like this feels special.
Right.
Because in the pilot, it's all about heart and showmance. There's a lot of biting comedy, but again, when it comes to the Glee Club, it's all heart.
Right.
And in this episode, the only heart through it
was
were those moments.
Curtain. Yeah.
Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
If you like our show, you're going to love The Good Life with Stevie and Suzanne. Think about when you're sitting around the living room talking with your best friends, Kevin. That's what you'll get on The Good Life. Stevie and Suzanne chat about life, love, and everything in between. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, and have something inspiring to take away at the end. Download new episodes of The Good Life with Stevie and Suzanne every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Okay, Amber's number, which deserves its own episode. I remember when she got that number, and she was like, I love this song.
So I remember, I don't know if it was during the pilot or during Showmance, when we were talking about music with Ryan a lot, showing him current music. Mm. I was a massive Jasmine Sullivan fan, and so was Amber. And Amber and I bonded over Jasmine Sullivan during the pilot. And I don't know at what point I think she showed Ryan that song, because it was...
You're right. You're totally right.
And I love that so quickly.
Mm-hmm. He was like,
he put it in the episode,
in the script,
gave her a moment, and gave her a full, insane sort of like daydream
chills.
Of a performance.
I have chills.
And I was just, again, it was one of those things where it was like validating my trust in Ryan all the time. But like, thank
he
you
listens,
for
right.
like listening to this song that is not a well-known mainstream
not at
R&B
all. I had
song.
Never heard it before.
And she, Jasmine Sullivan is one of the best singers ever.
Yeah.
And to like what an awesome opportunity for her that luckily Glee ended up being a pretty big show and then this song was in it.
And Amber crushed it. I mean, I remember going in and trying and like us getting
learning.
In the rehearsals and learning the whole number.
We were so excited.
We loved it.
Because, I mean, was that the first time it was like a real music video?
Yes, yes.
Like we...
I think so,
I mean, they sprayed down... We shot it on Paramount. It's the Paramount parking lot where the car wash was.
Well, it's not a... it was a music video.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
And
oh, so good.
You had the... They shot part of it in Long Beach at the high school where we were still shooting.
Right, on the stage.
Yeah. Have we said that yet?
No, let's... explain it.
So for the first season, all the auditorium stuff and all the exterior walking outside of school was shot at a Cabrillo in
Long Beach.
And we didn't have that auditorium set built until second season. I think a couple episodes into second season.
Right.
Because we were going down there so often. We're just going to take another stage at Paramount Studios and build a replica of this real high school auditorium.
Yeah.
And they built it to their dimensions where they could actually shoot in it better.
Right.
And it was great.
Well, the auditorium is so special and it's just like... probably a holy place for us now, but
we each
back
own a place
in the day,
pile.
Like when we were shooting in Long Beach, like in LA, Long Beach is far. And Kevin, when you were shooting, you lived in Valencia at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would work 12, 13, 13 and a half, 14 hour days.
On a short day.
On a short day and do a musical number there all day long. And then you would have to get in your car and drive all the way home back to Valencia.
It was like 65 miles, I think. And
I would be so worried. I'd be like, please don't crash. And there was points where like we would have night shoots and we'd be driving back from Long Beach and I'd be like, this is like... Wake up. Open your windows and wake up.
I would roll down my windows and play music loudly.
And there was a part of it that was dangerous after a while, because it's like we were on Paramount. All of our, you know, the equipment's there. If not, we're on location. So this it did behoove them to build that stage for everybody. But gosh, I'll never forget Long Beach. And you would pass all those factories at night, late at night. Chris and I would tend to carpool because we're staying in the same place for a while, or like very close to each other. And that helped me a lot, because we would at least go back and forth together, but I can't imagine driving by myself.
Oh, it was a lot. And I also had a really terrible car that was totaled.
You're sweet.
My Acura.
Kevin.
And the metal was coming through the tires.
It was a sad car by the end, I have to say.
It was rough.
What was your so Bust Your Windows was like the full music video we shot on the car wash part was on the Paramount lot.
And then in Long Beach, she shot on the auditorium
with the car on the stage.
Which was hilarious.
How did they do that?
I have no idea. It was insane and I loved it. That was sort of that weird, like, again, testing what was going to work. Like, I think this works.
You're like, sure.
This is absurd. And she has that like microphone and then she's standing on the hood. Cut to us on tour later that year or the next year, and we brought an Escalade on tour with us so she could do the full performance. And she slid down the windshield. It was great.
Oh, that's right.
Also, so many, we'll talk about the dancers as much as possible, because they've become some of our best friends.
Yes.
And so many of our friends, I didn't even realize they were in this number.
Everybody's in that number. But especially the one, Heather Morris, was like front and center with her. And I literally, you cannot take your eyes off that girl when she's dancing. Like,
I watched
it. You just cannot. She's amazing.
I watched it twice. I watched to watch Amber, and one of our friends, Hannah, is in the number. And then I had to do a full Heather pass. Because
For sure.
And I've always said, like, watching her dance, there's something so, so special about her, where she pulls focus in all the right ways.
Right.
And everybody else sort of falls away. Like, no shade to anybody else.
No.
But, like,
it's true.
It was like watching Beyonce. Like, I'm like, I love nothing more than listening to Amber sing and watching Heather dance.
I'm with you.
And they're on par. Like, Amber's the best singer in the entire world, and like,
and
Heather's the best dancer.
And like, it's put
unreal.
Them two together, it's like, I honestly, Bust Your Windows was the best part of the episode for me.
Oh, absolutely. It was.
And I remember being so excited for Amber to do it. And she looked like such a G. And like, it was so good.
And also,
I was so proud.
It was one of the first moments where we could, we weren't in the number.
Right.
And we could watch one of our friends, our new friends, like, just
kill it.
And it was one of the first of, I don't know, hundreds of times where we could sit back and be like, damn, our friends are talented.
Right.
And this show is awesome and absurd. And again, like, you guys are so good.
This was my weepy moment of the episode, was Bust Your Windows.
Yeah.
I got weepy.
My weepy was Kurt coming out and like, seeing the two of them with their budding friendship in real life.
That's
and
so
like,
cute.
And like, knowing everything that was going on in our lives personally, and being thrown into the deep end of this like soon to be big show.
Right.
And watching, like, Amber was like, we were all pretty new to acting and acting in television.
Right.
And seeing them deal with this like sort of heavy content was so nice to, like, as friends, watch them do this.
And they're such babies. It's little baby faces.
Also, like, we're literally watching Chris Colfer come out. Yes.
Come out.
But, like, grow up. But by
That's
second
true.
Season, homeboy has grown 6 inches.
Oh, my God. He just kept growing.
The cheekbones are out. Like, he's a different person.
Literally, I mean, when he started, what, he was 18? 17?
Yeah, he's a baby. 18. I mean, I was only 20, but, like, he still had, like, the baby fat.
Yeah. He hadn't sprouted just yet. And he was, I mean, he sprouted.
Yeah, you see everybody, like, standing in a line during these episodes, and he's the same height as everybody else.
And then, like,
very quickly, he's just
back nine, forget it.
Yeah.
This episode is weird, but I will say the very end of this episode, when Sue makes the Cheerios smell their armpits. Are you kidding?
When she cuts off the tanning privileges.
That's the smell of failure, and it's stinking up my office.
Santana crying and running out of the office was... I started clapping.
No, your tanning privileges are taken away.
Again, or like, oh, okay, Nia is a comedic genius.
Right,
let's give her more. Like,
right. Well, that's...
Oh, wait.
The episode.
I want to talk about two, like, premonitions that happened in this episode.
Your witchy premonitions?
No, not mine.
Oh.
But Emma talks about John Stamos.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
And John Stamos ends up coming in the series.
And playing her husband.
Yes.
Or her fiancé. Boyfriend.
We'll get to it. I don't know. We'll refresh our memory.
Well, maybe.
And then Dakota calls Amber Effie.
He does?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, you know, Amber
She's
Riley.
She won that Olivier for playing Effie in The West End.
Yeah.
How? The West End,
yeah,
sorry.
How crazy was that?
That's funny. Yeah, I like the premonitions. We got to keep finding the little the premonitions. It seems appropriate, though. Like, out of nowhere. Whoa.
And another weird thing that I forgot about. Sorry. Is that Kurt was into Finn.
Oh. That started in Acapella's?
Mercedes asked Kurt, like, wait, then who are you into? And he looks behind her, and the camera's focused on Finn. And then Rachel pops up, and she only sees Rachel, because she's not even considering that Kurt's gay. And she's like, it's Rachel? And he's like, yes, it is.
Oh, that's right.
It's like, oh my God, I forgot he was into Finn, and then they become brothers.
Well, I never forgot that he was into Finn. Because it's funny to me. I love it. I love that story. It's just like, it's like your crush. It's like the one crush that you're like unattainable and then really unattainable. Because that would be gross.
It's also like hard to separate, I think, like us personally from the characters in a lot of ways during this time. We're like imagining like Corey and Chris together. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. I don't know about this.
Yeah, totally. I feel like Corey loved that storyline though too.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He played right into it.
But Corey was down for
anything.
Of it.
Yeah. He
and played right into it. That's why it was so much fun watching him like dance and things where like, I know you're uncomfortable and you know you look a little crazy, but like you're going for it.
Okay. I think Steve has been coming to us with questions each episode. And
good
I
questions.
Feel like good questions too. And I'm like, I just want to answer all of them. So we're going to open up the floor to Steve to ask us questions. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jenna. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, welcome to the show, Steve.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
What was your thoughts about Acapella's?
Here's the first one that kind of comes to mind. How many takes was it for the busted window scene? Was it just like one go at throwing a rock through that windshield and then you just had to deal with it the rest of the time?
I think it was a rigged windshield. I remember seeing a windshield with the rock in it.
Right.
Like I think they replaced it. So I think she threw it and then they replaced it and they cut in the windshield with the rock in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah,
movie
sorry
magic,
to bust
Steve.
your rock bubble.
You're smarter than me. Yeah.
Well, we didn't make it.
So around the time that this episode came out, there was not a lot of representation of LGBT characters.
Right.
And so when you're reading through and you get towards the end of the episode and there's that very vulnerable emotional scene between Kurt and Mercedes, again, it seemed like the first few episodes there were some big reveals of how the show was going to go, setting the tone. Did it strike you in a very particular kind of way, Kevin, you particular? Did you like see that as being something very cool and unique and special in that?
Well, I think we were all – we didn't even question it. We're like, oh, yeah, this is great. This needs to happen. You're not thinking of like, this is TV history type of thing. I think it was a big tell. Our reactions were a big tell for how fans would react, how people watching it, because it just needed to happen. Like these moments just needed to be seen by everyone who would watch the show. And luckily we had – quite a few viewers, and I think we were just thankful that they weren't shying away from any of that stuff. And like very quickly, like you said, we realized what the tone would be. And like I think we felt that just from being around Ryan, Brad, and Ian, and just how the pilot revealed stuff. I think we just wanted to. I think we were thankful they weren't like backing away from pushing those topics out there. And episode 3, like a kid's already coming out and he's 16. It's like, let's do that on network television.
Yeah, because I remember the only other like representation on TV that I remembered was like Will and Grace. You know,
and it was a very different take.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely, totally different. And they were adults at the time as well. So I think that I didn't realize what it was until Chris started feeling it as Chris, you know, and getting the response of the fans as well.
And I was someone who, like, I grew up watching the UK show called Skins and was, like, desperate for, like, gay characters. And there was an amazing gay character in that show and storylines with the straight friends and all these. And you're like, oh, this is wonderful to actually see this and it's realistic. And I think being able to be a part of a show that also features something like that could be that for other kids was really cool to me.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Before you've made little comments about how certain characters were written by specific people. Like you've seen Ian Brennan reflected in Sue Sylvester before. I'm going through this episode and I'm thinking, who is writing the Sandy character? Because these are the most outlandish, crazy lines.
I think it's Ian.
I think it's probably Ian as well.
I think it's probably Ian.
Usually the most outlandish is Ian.
Yeah. Like, I know, I remember Brad wrote a lot of the Will Terry and the Will Emma.
And just, like, he was Will. Brad Falchuk was, like, all the motivational speeches for the Glee Club.
Brad.
It's all Brad. Because, like, when Brad would speak to us as humans
we're
and
like,
not in character.
Oh.
Yeah, be like, oh, that is a great Schuster speech.
Got it, yeah.
Like, you're just a dad.
Yeah.
Like, you are just automatically giving us
dad,
great pep
husband.
Talks.
Yeah, totally. And then a lot of the other time, like, Ryan wrote for Kurt and Ryan wrote for Rachel and, like, a lot of the Glee Club. Yeah, it's interesting. I could also see Ryan writing for Stephen Tobolowsky.
I also think Ryan had, like, a he's, like, a master editor. So I also think it was always a collaboration a lot of the time where – always a collaboration a lot of the time, profound, where he would come in and I think he would sprinkle in his stuff with everyone.
Right.
Can I list off a couple other Sandy quotes that really tickled me this episode? Towards the beginning of the episode where he's reintroduced and it's a little jarring to see him again after everything that's happened. And he's like, oh, he's just sitting in the rec room. And he spouts off the line, you're going to get a school full of Nancys unless you get some hot wood in those teenagers' hands.
Yeah. I spit out my drink. I forgot about that line and I was cackling. Get some hot wood in those teenagers' hands. Like, oh, it was so good.
Also, at the end of the episode, obviously, he's very fond of Josh Groban. And when he realizes he is sitting in the audience, runs in to make Acapellas aware of it and says, Josh Groban is here, front row, big brown eyes, cute as a buttermilk biscuit.
Yeah. I feel like that has to be Ian. So good.
It's so funny. Oh, I love rewatching this show. Okay. Thank you, Steve, for your Q&A.
Being so attentive.
Oh, thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Okay.
If I could sleep, I could miscarry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. One last thing. Jesslyn Gelsig is killing it.
I remember I loved her as a human being, hated Terry so much because she was awful.
Taking, yeah.
And now watching it, she's my favorite.
Love.
Because it's just a masterclass in insanity.
Love. Love.
She's so good.
Okay.
We have to have her on.
We gotta have her on. I want to hear her genius because she is literally like an acting class masterclass, right? Like,
and she's just
brilliant. And she's the coolest ever. Okay. You guys, we have a hotline, and I don't know if you know about this hotline, but.
Oh, it's hot.
It's hot.
Piping hot.
And we need you to call in and text and leave voicemails and leave us your questions for season one for the first 13. Ask us anything. We may or may not answer.
We know, you know, you youngins don't like to leave voicemails. So
yeah,
you can text.
The thought of like chatting on the phone.
It's
like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Who's calling me? Okay. So call it our hotline, 424-248-8065. And also you can email us at showmanspod@gmail.com and write in and we'll chat with you. So give us a call. Kevin.
Yeah.
I want to talk and I want to share this voicemail with everybody.
Oh, yes, please.
It just made my day. All right. So you guys know, call into the hotline. But if we like your voicemail enough, we may play it on the show, which we're going to now because this made my fucking year.
Yeah.
2020 has already been made. I'm happy every day.
So sweet.
We're going to play this voicemail for you.
Hey, Kevin and Jenna. First episode. Absolutely outstanding. I have to tell you, great job, guys. That was really, really awesome. I love that behind the scenes. Just as an aside, I'm a 65-year-old veteran, and I watched Glee when it first aired, and I've watched it a million times since. So I'm a huge fan, and I just wanted you to know that your fan base is a little wider than you might have thought. Thank you. That was an awesome broadcast. And I watch it on Netflix. Keep it up. I'm going to be a regular listener to your podcast.
Oh.
I mean.
I just love love. And he didn't say his name. We can't give him a shout out. So we're giving you a shout out now.
Yeah. Whoever thank called you, in,
thank you. And I love that our fan base is wider than we thought.
I mean, and I think that is one of the coolest things about the show and being on the show when we would go in public and meet people. It wasn't just people our age. A lot of time, I had a lot of parents and grandparents who would come up to me and be like, I know you probably don't think I watch the show, but I love it. It's not just my kids.
And also like girlfriends and boyfriends being like, my girlfriend started watching it and then now I love it. And you're like, and they're like, yes.
Yeah.
And occasionally you'd be like, my girlfriend loves the show. I'm like, do you love the show? Are you just saying your girlfriend loves the show?
But that means a lot. Thank you for taking the time to call in.
Love it. And we appreciate... Oh, Bear. Bear appreciates it, too.
Aww.
Oh. And lastly, I want to talk about this petition I found. There is a petition for a Glee cast...
Sound it out. Sound it out, Jenna.
There is a petition for the Glee cast... There is a petition for the Glee cast to be made into Funko Pop characters. I love Funko Pop characters. If you don't know what they are, just Google them, but I'm sure you all know what they are.
Glee was over before this thing like became awesome.
And like, I want to be made into a Funko Pop.
I'll make you into one.
Oh my God. So we're going to put this petition up in our bio and on the Instagram, Showman's Podcast, and... Go sign it. Get your friends to sign it because just make my dreams come true.
Yeah.
Please.
Do it for Jenna.
I love Funko Pops. And I was so thrilled to hear about this petition that was going around. So
I have a lot of Game of Thrones.
I think we need like 10,000 signatures. I think we can do that.
We need 10,000 signatures?
We can do it.
Okay.
All right. So go sign the petition, please. And call in your questions to the hotline.
Yeah. And then we'll abandon Steve's questions. We'll neglect Steve.
And
I'm
next
kidding, Steve,
week,
don't stop.
Next week is episode four.
I would say I haven't rewatched it yet, but from my memory, it's like top five best episodes.
For sure. I love this episode so much. So go watch Preggers, and we have a great guest coming in.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.
If you like our show, you're going to love The Good Life with Stevie and Suzanne. Think about when you're sitting around the living room talking with your best friends, Kevin. That's what you'll get on The Good Life. Stevie and Suzanne chat about life, love, and everything in between. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, and have something inspiring to take away at the end. Download new episodes of The Good Life with Stevie and Suzanne every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.